Mobile. CBA, N4ZLK. Good evening, Dave.
N4ZLK. Name is David. Good evening.
It's Shane. We've talked a few times. I think the last time I talked to you, we were discussing your father-in-law. He worked with my mother's husband. I think at one point my mother's husband remembered him.
Okay. What is he? I meant to ask you, what is his name?
John Rice. Is John Rice. Don't want to put him somewhere he's not. His name is John Rice. He was a sergeant.
Is he still working for the city?
Early 90s, I think.
You're a little scratchy, and I'm in kind of a bad place, too, right now. I'll get out of it in a minute.
It's at Malden and 85, Malden Road. It's kind of a low spot.
Malden Road and 85, I ought to be able to hear you on the input, but I don't. I'm going over the Patewood Bridge over 385 right now.
On input, I picked you up when you first gave your signal, or your call sign. And I'm headed up to Whitehorse right here, headed up the hill, so should be getting higher and higher.
In this location right here, around the hospitals on this side of, it's my 440 side of the radio ID, and right here at Patewood, getting into the repeater is kind of rough. I guess I'm not getting over Beacon Hill here. I guess I'm on the other side of it still, so as soon as I cross Pelham Road, I should have a better signal.
All right, headed back towards Taylor's.
And
down, like, towards Edwards Road, is that the way you go, or are you coming up the hill towards Haywood?
Yeah, I'll be headed down that steep hill. Just a minute. I'm on Orchard Drive right now. I'm cutting through. It's a little cut through I do to, it's a little quicker. And then I get on Haywood Road and it crosses Pelham, and it's just a little bit quicker. But anyway, coming up to the traffic light here at Palm Road and Haywood Road right now.
At that intersection in my first car, and I was fairly new at driving. It was a stick shift. I worried about the people behind me.
That can be kind of scary. I love driving a stick, though. This is my third Mustang, and I had two other cars that were, I had a Dodge Colt and a 79 Dodge Colt and a, they had a 4-speed, it was actually a 5-speed, and then I had a 85 Oldsmobile Firenza. They didn't make those very long, but it had a 5-speed in it. That was a funny car. It was an Oldsmobile. The engine was made in Brazil. The transmission was an Isuzu transmission, but yet it was an Oldsmobile.
Those cars, the Firenza. Yeah, I drive a, the truck I'm driving now, right now going home, my personal truck is an automatic. I wanted a stick shift. I was looking for the 6-speed. It's an F-250. But I drive a 10-speed around town all day, and that's a lot of changing gears, and especially when you hit every traffic light.
Oh, if you do that, I guess you're kind of tired of it. By the time you get get ready to go home, I imagine you are ready for an automatic. I think I would be. But I'm in a Mustang GT. This is a 12. It's rated about 420 horsepower. And I pulled up beside one just like it, same year and everything. And I noticed he had aftermarket brakes. And I said, what else have you done to that car? And he said, it's got a Roush supercharger. It makes over 700 horsepower. And I said, dadgum.
Would be fun. Yeah, I hear you when you're talking on the radio. I hear you going through the gears. It sounds really good. It's got that low growl to it. It comes across very nicely. Just in the background, not overpowering, but just nice enough to notice.
It just wasn't loud enough for me with the mufflers on it, and so I had a guy. In fact, it was one of my ham radio buddies. He introduced me to a guy at a muffler shop in Greer, and I live in Taylor. So I drove over there, and I said, what do you charge me to cut the mufflers out? And they're right at the back of the car, right at the, where the chrome tips are. He said he'd weld a straight piece of pipe in on both sides, and he said, I'll do it for $50 a side. And I said, go ahead and do it. So, man, I tell you, it sure does sound good, especially if you get it up above $3,000, and from there on up, man, it just sounds so good. But everybody wants to race. I have moms in minivans with children in there, and they want to race you because they, I guess they hear that growl, and they you know, it just gets their blood going or something. I don't know.
Now they're making fewer and fewer of those kind of cars that the average guy can enjoy anymore. I've been watching Top Gear. I don't know why I didn't watch it when it came out. I know it's still going, but I started streaming it. I've been going through the first season. I've really been enjoying that.
I've watched that, and I watched, I can't even remember the name of it, but it was a show on Discovery, and the guys, they dynoed engines. That's all they did, not in the car, but just on the, they put it on stand and dynoed it straight from, I guess, the flywheel. And they would do different things to it, and a lot of times it would be it'd have a carburetor on it, and but they, some of the engines they had would make over 1,000 horsepower. And it was just incredible. And they'd show you every minute little detail of, you know, why it was making the horsepower as they were building it. You know, it was just incredible. I learned so much about engines because as a technician, I worked on cars a lot, but I never rebuilt an engine, you know, from the ground up. I rarely worked on the... had to work on the bottom end because just didn't have problems with them. I worked for Mazda, for John Finger Mazda, and I pulled tons of heads, but just never had opportunity to work on the bottom end of it very much because they just held up so good.
Yeah, I like Mazdas. I don't know much about them. I've never owned one. Kind of partial to Toyotas. We've had Toyotas and Hondas and Subarus, and I lost my love for Subarus pretty quick. There's just a lot of stuff that seems... I felt like I was constantly maintaining them. I'm not a mechanic, but I do as much maintenance as I can. And if something breaks, I'll try to fix it unless it gets too deep, and then I can't do it, or I don't have the time or the tools. So, and I'm the same way. I've never rebuilt an engine or anything like that. I'm kind of jealous of people that can do that, but just never have had the time. But I really like the Toyotas. I've had real good luck with them.
CPA. Yeah, Toyota makes a real good product. So does Honda. Of course Mazda does, and their computer strategy is a lot like Ford. So if you understand Ford's computer strategy, you can probably work on a Mazda because they're real close. In fact, they used to work in cooperation with each other. And they started back in the 80s, because I remember opening the hood of a Ford Probe, and it had a Mazda engine in it, and it was turbocharged, had a little four-banger in it, and boy, that thing would fly. It was a fast car. But then Chevrolet's computer strategy is a little different, and the GM, and the rest of them, like BMW, they're a different breed, and so unless it's something real obvious on one of those, I don't have a clue.
A mix of Hondas and Toyotas. I have four kids, and they all bought a car when they started their senior year, and we had a couple Toyotas and a couple Hondas. We had a Toyota that my wife's mother bought new, and when she couldn't drive anymore, it just kind of was handed down. And just the maintenance, CV axles, oil changes, starters, things like that. The Toyotas were easier, and that, I try to do all the oil changes on my wife's car, and mine too, all that tire rotation. And like I said, if it's a starter or something, I'll try to do it. But it's just easier on the Toyotas for me than the Hondas. That's kind of another reason I'm partial to them.
We bought her a Honda Civic. Was her first car. That's what she wanted. And so I brought it. I was working at John Finger, so I brought it in on a Saturday because we were closed on Saturday and Sunday. And just, gave it a once-over. And I noticed that it had a broken stud. Both front tires, or front axles had broken studs, one on each side, and it only had four studs in it, total to begin with. So, but to get the stud out, you had to press the bearing out. And to get the bearing out, you had to take that whole assembly, the hub assembly off the car and press the bearing out just to get the stud out. And I had to do that on both sides of the front. I was so ill, I tell you.
Some of the things, it wasn't a stud, but we did the CV axles on a Honda, on an Accord. I don't remember the year, but man alive, it was a pain getting the front steering, everything taken apart just to get the axles out. And then I looked at the Toyota. I didn't have to do it on that, but I looked at that and I was like, that's a lot easier. If I have to ever do that on here, that's going to be a whole lot easier than the Honda.
You just never know what you're going to run into. That's why I says, it shouldn't be too hard. I say, don't say that. Please don't say that, because when somebody says that, it winds up being, something breaks or, something happens. And it winds up taking twice as long as it should and that kind of thing. But, some CV axles, they'll come out. They're not too hard to get out of the transmission, but you got I got a long crowbar, and I can usually pop them out. I've got special tools also that'll pop them out. But sometimes they're just frozen in the hub and on the outer joint, and it's rusted. And they make a special tool for that. And I have had to use that special tool, and then it would bottom out into the rotor, and I would, or whatever was there, and then the I guess it would be the bearing, and then I would have to take an old pin that came out of a rear end on a car, and start pounding that pin on that axle to get it the rest of the way out. It still was stuck in there, wouldn't slide out, and I was spraying it down with all kinds of stuff that supposed to eat away rust, and just, yeah, it was fighting me all the way. I tell you, some of them are like that.
When you said somebody says, oh, that shouldn't be too bad, it seemed like if I've got multiple, say I'm doing something on all four wheels, it's always the last one where the issue comes up. I was changing some wheel bearings on an excursion one time, and I started on one side, went around the car, and in the first three, not a problem. I was like, man, this is easy. And that last one just gave me a fit. And it seems like if I've got more than one of the same thing, it's always the second or third or fourth one, whatever the last one is I'm getting to, that's where it causes trouble.
Yeah, I'll say one other thing, and I need to get out of here. I'm sitting in the garage. And that's the way it is, like if you're pulling like a transmission out or pulling the engine out, there's always that one screw that you can't get to, and you're just sitting there, you know, just barely being able to turn it, like a quarter of a turn each time, and you know, it's real hard to get to, and it's just the most frustrating thing in the world. And then you knowing that you got to put the stupid thing back in, you know, when you start putting it back together, I tell you, it seems like there's always, no matter what you're working on, there's always one screw that's a problem. You know, the head's all screwed up on it. It doesn't want to come out, and whatever. But anyway, I'll let this be my final. I'll stick around for your final transmission, and enjoy the QSO. And you ever get on HF?
I don't have the station set up at the home. We moved 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I have a longer commute, so less time, it seems like. I'll get it up at some point. Anyway, and the name is Shane. I think I told you. I'm not sure. Anyway, Dave, good to talk to you. I enjoyed it, and hope you have a good evening. N4ZLK.
I enjoyed it. N4ZLK, KP4CPA, clear.
For ZLK, KO4HKX, you still there, Shane? I am, N4ZLK. How are you doing, Patrick?
Hey, still trying to get home myself, so almost there.
Through the day, but it's about the time I'm getting ready to get out again, so, or I know I'm going to be changing gears. I can't get to the microphone. I followed the Matco truck down 25 towards Piedmont a couple hours ago. I know it wasn't you, but I thought about you anyway.
Probably Jason.
With him, I came up behind him at a red light, so I never even saw who was in there.
Got their name on their truck but me right now. I still haven't got mine put on there since I got it.
The mountain yet, or are you still headed up?
Mountain, I'm past my dead spot, but just coming out of the other side of it.
On the Brevard side, right? Is that correct?
You know where State Forest is, I live right there at the foot of the mountain, as you're going to Bavard.
You broke up when you said right where you were.
I said, if you know where DuPont State Forest is at, I live at the bottom of the mountain, as you're coming into Bavard the back way.
280 on that side, or not 276 side, right?
It's heading to 280, back to 64, like you're coming out of Hendersonville into Bavard.
There, my daughter and son-in-law go to, they live in Fletcher. They go to church there in Mills River, right off 280. There's a, it's like a community center. I can't remember the name of it. We've been up there a few times. We cut through the, went up 276 and then cut through the DuPont State Park to and cut over there. I was just gonna, I was wondering if you'd ever eaten at the place called, Square Root in downtown Brevard.
No, sir, I have not.
Recommend it if you get a chance. That's my wife, that's our favorite place up there. We'll go up there every once in a while. Boy, they've got a, they have a pretzel appetizer that is really, really good. It can be a meal on its own.
I've had such bad experiences going to the restaurants in Bavard, I just about don't go anymore.
And we keep going back there because we like it so much. So I can't speak to the other ones.
I like traditional southern food, comfort food, and most of the time when I go in there, they're trying too hard. They're adding too much spice to it, or too much of this, or too much of that, and trying to doll it up for all these fancy gourmet stuff, and you just kill it for me.
There, and the Square Root got some funky things on their menu. So they do a little bit of that too, but they have some, they have some, you know, normal stuff and some of that funky stuff that everybody seems to like, but I know what you're talking about.
Commended, I may have to go give it a try.
They don't serve that pretzel appetizer. It comes out on a board and it's got all kinds of meats and cheeses and olives and a mustard sauce. You know, it's really, I mean, it's good. I could eat that for a meal, like I said. They don't serve that on Sundays, but they had, I like shrimp and grits, and they had it on Sundays. I don't know if they still do or not, but that was some of the best shrimp and grits I've ever had up there, too.
Give it a try. Usually after church, though, it's a madhouse trying to get into any restaurant around here, because there's just not much to choose from up here in Bavard, to be honest with you.
Or 276, you know, heads off of Main Street. Seems like there's several restaurants, but I've always driven by them after I've eaten and I'm full. And I'm like, man, I have to try that one time. But we go up there every couple months or so. We, as the crow flies, we're not that far, but it takes us about 45 minutes to get there.
Where do you live at?
About 5 miles from Table Rock State Park. Maybe not quite that far. I'm on, at the base of Caesar's Head, I guess, a couple miles away, you know, not in the mountain, but I can see Caesar's Head from my back porch.
Highway 8 or around 11, somewhere in there?
Highway 11 and the old Table Rock Road, I think that's what it's called. It cuts from Highway 8 over to the back side of Table Rock.
I know about where you're at. Yeah, that's not too far. And if, to go into Bavard, if you come like you're going to 64 to go into Bavard, you'll go right by my house.
Yeah, we've done that a few times. We were just up in Pisgah a couple weeks ago. Took my sister-in-law and her husband up there. My wife's sister took him to the, Looking Glass Falls, and we ate at the Square Root. That was the last time a couple weeks ago, so we enjoyed it.
Restaurants up here started closing like 5 o'clock because they can't get no help. There's just nobody around to work that wants to work anymore.
I'm not up there that late. Working during the week, so I don't know what they do during the evening, but that is a shame that people can't find people to work. N4, is that okay?
Disappointing in our society when there's jobs out here and they're choosing not to go take a job. KO4HKX Friday.
I mean, I've known anything but work since I was a youngster. So, and my kids, I made them work. I made them all get jobs when they were old enough. Made them buy their first car, too.
I helped mine buy his first car, but I did not buy it for him. He had to earn it, and he had to work for it. Like you say, you don't appreciate it until you earn it. And a lot of these kids nowadays don't know that.
Did well. They saved up money. Every one of them had enough money by their senior year. We had a car that they learned to drive on, and they could drive until they bought their first car. But each one of them by their senior year in high school and purchased their own car with their own money and paid their own fuel, and they all appreciated it.
Same thing. I had a 2000 Suburban. That I used for work, just throwing stuff in it, whatever. I didn't care about it. And, yeah, that's what I let my son drive when he needed to drive somewhere until he got his car. And he had to pay for the gas in it and all that. So he didn't go much unless he had to.
Bourbon.
He had 500 four-wheel drive with a 6.0 in it. It was a gas hog.
About your excursion, I had a 2000. It was a two-wheel drive. They had the eight-cylinder. And it would do 17 around town, and I could get 20 on the highway. But we had that car for 16 years, and that was I loved that vehicle. It did everything I ever asked it to do.
Long time for the one I have now. And I just happened to stumble across it one day. Couldn't believe it. 2000 model with 83,000 miles on it. Four-wheel drive. 7.3 diesel, everything, limited, leather, you name it, it's here. I couldn't believe it.
I'm driving a 02 F-250 with the 7.3, and I hunted for a long time. I had an old 79 Chevy that I drove for 19 years, and I always wanted one of these. And I was looking all over for several months, and then one day on eBay, this one showed up about 20 minutes from my house. Had 104,000 miles on it, and it's leather, and it was in perfect condition, so I couldn't resist.
KO4HDX Friday. Yeah, that's the way this one, it just kind of fell in my lap, but I had to drive to Georgia to get it, which was about 3 hours away, but still. I was like, I'm going to take a chance on it and go to at least look at it for that kind of money.
Miles, too. I'm surprised it was... You must have stumbled on it when it first went up for sale.
Listed for 2 months. He just listed it wrong, and I looked at the VIN and knew what it was.
I think the truck that I bought, it's four-wheel drive, four doors. It has a 6.5-foot bed. I had an 8-foot bed, and I used to do construction-type stuff, but I don't need it. I like it, but I don't need the 8-foot bed. But I wanted the four doors because I had a single cab for all those years, and I think I saw it the morning he listed it.
97, 350 crew cab. Drive, long wheelbase, big truck. 350, so yeah, I've got that too. If I need something like that.
Much of that. I heard 97 and a long wheelbase, but that was about it.
For about 15 years now.
Got Ford as well?
Oh, yeah, it's a 7.3, four-wheel drive, automatic. It was the cream of the crop in 97.
Body styles in the late 90s. When you see one, you know, that's in good shape driving around town, it looks good.
Mine is in neat paint now. It's a complete paint job. Just from age and all that. But other than that, it's solid, runs good. I have no problems out of it at all. I can fire it up and drive across that country now, whatever I want to do with it.
These engines are kind of a the last of the breed, I think. Not the most powerful, but they were very, very reliable.
They were reliable. They were only running at about 40% of capacity of what they were capable of.
And I'm not a diesel mechanic, so... But I have heard that. I just can't explain it.
What I did for many years is working on these and the Duramaxes, so I know them pretty good. Better than I want to some days. But Shane, I'm home now, so I'm going to say 7-3. You have a safe ride on into your destination, and I'll keep an ear out for you tomorrow. KO4HGX, and I'm clear on your funnel.
Glad you made it. Good to talk to you. And I'm not too far away. KO4HKX, N4ZLK.